Okay, okay, right. That was the last question. So what I'm told I'm told to wrap up.
A woman as well, and I'm a mother as well of six children. Like yourself, you're a mother. A lot of this movement for the last 4 to 5 years publicly has been about the children first.
It's all right.
It's all right, come on.
When are we going to you?
Come on.
Being a survivor of sexual abuse, yes, from the ages of 7 to 14, when are we going to have more freedom and more public acknowledgement of the 28 high-profile Australian names for paedophilia that have been covered up in the Heffman Wood Commission?
Good question.
Thank you.
That's been raised with me a lot about the paedophilia that's happening. People say, do something about it. I have not seen the names. I've spoken to Bill Heffman personally about it, and where did we go from here? Yeah, no, I'm just explaining to you because Australia's with me. And I said, they said, well, do something about it. And I said, well, what do you want me to do? What would you like me to do? What names have you got? No one's produced the documentation to me. And if you think I'm going to go out there and say something about this, unless I have the information, I'm not going to. I will be crucified. Give me the information, I will fight for you. I know nothing about these names. No one's produced it to me. Yeah, I know, but I can't do anything unless I have some names and I have the proof. And it's still happening now, and a lot of this, and I've called the Descent Price and the Royal Commission into the sexual abuse of the Aboriginal children. That's another thing that's happened in this country. No one does anything about it. They shut their doors to it. But they can't, yes or no. Correct. We try to work for the people. I've put out things there over the past and I've got criticised for it. And the whole fact is, for my survival and not to be criticised, pulled down by the major political parties and everyone else, if I'm going to do anything, give me the evidence and I know what I'm talking about, based on fact, not on just all innuendos. Yes. And that's what I need to do. So I've got no problem about it. I won't back away from anything, but give me the facts.
Saw a video with Pauline Hanson talking to a survivor of abuse. I just want to reach out first to the lady who's abused from 7 to 14. You have my love, and I hope you're doing well. But to Pauline Hanson said, what am I supposed to do? She wants to fight for us, but she needs proof. She needs someone to give her name. She needs information. Pauline, I put my hand up. If anyone has contact with Pauline, send her this video and I will speak to her. I'm willing to go wherever she needs me to go, and I'll sit down with her and I have a cupboard full of fucking documents. I can prove this much. The Homeless Children Association was founded by a senior magistrate, Rob Blackmore. On that board was also the leading privacy advocate in the world, Simon Davies. A prime minister at the time, Bob Hawke. 7 other judges, including Shu Shrine. I can name all of them. I have a list of them in there, plus a general. I've convicted 4 of the 5 men in that refuge. The 5th man would have been convicted, but they can't fucking find him. I can also tell you about what happened with Judge Yeldham, who's another judge who I named in that Royal Commission. I named Judge Yeldham and I named Hawke. They're 2 names. I gave Rod Blackmore. So I named 8 judges. I named a Prime Minister and I named the leading privacy advocate in the world. I named the head of NZI Insurance, a guy that worked in the tax department. I named a lot of high-profile people. Pauline, if you want to speak to me, I'm willing to speak back. They shut down the commission and said, we cannot release these names because the general public will lose faith. What was it? Lose in the judicial system. I think the word was faith. I might be wrong. However, all we're asking is, allow them to release or unsuppress the files of those of us who gave evidence who wish them to be released. Give us the fucking option. There you go. So rather than releasing everything, just release we can go in, we can fill out a piece of form and say, I am willing to make my statements from the Woodrow Commission, the Royal Commission into Institutional Abuse, and the four fucking trials, because three of the four trials, my files were also suppressed. Because what they said to me in the first three trials was that the reason we're suppressing these files is to protect the victim. You're not protecting the victim, mate. You're protecting the abusers. You're protecting not the abuser even, but those who are complicit in covering up their abuse. Rob Blackmore, the judge, the leading founding judge of the refuge, was made aware, right? He also worked at Albion Street, Bajura, and the refuge that I was in. In 1983, in January, he was made aware by a guy who runs another refuge named David Leary, who's told him that we were being fucking abused. The general and the judge called Simon Davies into their office and said, you can no longer be the CEO, and you can no longer live at the refuge. Nobody came to the refuge to see if that happened. Nobody reported our actions to the their actions to the police. Nobody come and spoke to us children, the ones who were actually being abused. 8 months later, in Grant Morris, who I've had convicted's own words, he said it had gotten out of hand. At the time, in August of 1983, and it was in the paper, they closed down the refuge and they arrested us. Us. We did nothing wrong. They arrested all the children and locked us into Bajura, which is the very court that Rob Blackmore fucking runs, right? Tell me that ain't covering bases. They let me out. Then what happened was they charged me with a fictitious crime, corrupt King's Cross Police, put me into Minda for assault and robbery I didn't fucking do. Then while I was under duress and wanting to get out of an institution, they allowed me to get out. I was placed into the custody of my primary abuser, Simon Davies, who I've recently had convicted, and he is doing 10 years in jail. Right? They put me into the custody of his house at 43 Carlton Crescent, Summerhill, where I live with his mum, his dad and his two sisters. And do you know who protected me? The fucking sister. The sister spoke up and said, what the fuck is this little boy doing sleeping in Simon Davies' bed in his room? So then Simon Davies takes me and dumps me into a flat in Annandale, in Glebe, sorry, next to the door to the university, whatever the fuck that suburb is. I think it's Glebe, because I ended up living in a place just down from that on the corner of Glebe Point Road and Parramatta Road, which was an old hotel. Pauline Hanson, I'm reaching out to you. If you're fucking sincere, or Malcolm Roberts, or any of these politicians who keep saying, oh, there's nothing to see here, I'm telling you there is. I am telling you is. And I have fucking two royal commissions and four trials behind me. And all four trials I've been for, I've had all four fucking convicted. And do you know what their sentences were, Pauline? The first one, Ken Fogarty, got 18 months. That was Scotch tape. I was not complicit in any way. It was against my fucking will. The second one was against a man named Paul Jones, who had his own little house. He was a counsellor at the refuge, but had 20 other children living with him, including someone very fucking close to me, who he also abused, and he got 18-month sentence. But they all ran concurrent. You got lots of 18-month sentences that all ran side by side. So that's two now that I've gone through all this battle for to get 18-month sentences. The third one, the head of NZI Insurance, Grant Leroy Morris, he got 2 years, 8 months. What a fucking kick in the teeth that was. Then finally, under the new Sentences Act in 2019, Simon Davies was extradited from the Netherlands. But here's the kicker. The Woodrow Commission was made aware of Simon Davies by multiple people. I would hazard a guess to say over 20 people, and a woman named Annie Crowe, who is complicit in my abuse, has been given, from my understanding, immunity for giving evidence to the Woodrow Commission. And she is 100% complicit in our abuse. There's so much more to my story. So much more. There's so many more men that should be in jail, but the police will only go so far or take so many to court. There would be so many more convicted if they just fucking listened to me. I tried to speak up in 83. Sally Ann Huckstep spoke up in 86, and look what happened. So I went silent. But I'm not silent now, and I'm not scared anymore. I'm not scared of judges. I'm not scared of police. I'm not scared of politicians. I'm not scared of fucking no one. Not no more. Not when it comes to the protection of children or the revelations of revealing the fucking abuse in this fucking country. If you're sincere, Pauline Hanson, my name's Glenn Fisher. Google me. Google the book Predator's Paradise. Check out my current affair interview. I'm Ridgy Didge. I'm willing to speak. I'll stand beside you in front of any fucking person and share my story. And I wouldn't do that if I was telling Tommy Peppers, would I? I am willing to back myself up. And Australia knows I'm telling the truth, and Australia's willing to back me up. And on the January 10th of next year, I'll be marching in Sydney outside Parliament House with as many people as willing to come with me, and I'm hoping that people do that in every state. And I would love to see you there standing beside me, Pauline, if you really are about the people and the protection of fucking children. Because all I want to do, with absolute sincerity, is to make sure that the crimes that happened to me and to my friends never happen again. The last thing I will say, my girlfriend was just turned 16 when she was murdered. Two men were convicted for that crime by King's Cross Police, believe it or not. They went before the court on appeal before Judge Yeldon. Judge Yeldon set her killers free on appeal. Our country has a lot of skeletons in their closet, but I'm not interested just about exposing the past. I'm interested in changing our future. I'm interested in changing laws so that no child ever, ever is put in a position that I was. For those of you who doubt the sealing of the files in the Woods Royal Commission and the Royal Commission into institutional abuse, let me just share a little bit of my journey with you in relation to that. So in 1995, the police create the Woods Royal Commission, or the government, whoever the fuck did it. In 1996, they arrived at my door unannounced, and in front of my partner at the time, who didn't know I'd been through abuse, exposed me as a victim of sex crimes, right? They actually said in front of my partner, "Glenn, you've been identified by multiple people as a victim of these sex crimes," right? Now, I gave evidence to the police. They actually took me back to the station. I gave them information on Paul Jones, Ken Fogarty, and all the men from the Refuge and the Homeless Children's Association and in King's Cross. But they manufactured my statements. They doctored, my statements. And but what ends up happening was I end up giving evidence at the Woods Royal Commission. I have two men convicted, right? One man's name's Paul Chetwin Jones, who lived in Corunna Road, Petersham. And the other guy's name was Ken Fogarty, who worked for O'Brien Glass. And Paul Jones was a counsellor at the Refuge who was abusing multiple kids. He had about 20 kids living in his home that he was abusing a handful of, and coming to the Refuge and abusing the children at will, right? So these two men get convicted. I give my evidence, and then what happens is they sealed my file. They sealed my file for 99 years. Now, this isn't a fucking joke. This fucking happened. I exposed to them the Prime Minister, Bob Hawke, who was on the committee of the Refuge I lived in. I told them about the founding member of the Refuge, whose name was Rob Blackmore, who's a senior magistrate at Pajura Children's Court, who prior to that ran Albion Street Court, right? I also named seven other judges, the leading privacy advocate in the world, who was also a journalist, freelance journalist for the Sydney Morning Herald, and also wrote a book called Shooting Up, the head of NZO Insurance, Grant Morris, who I've had convicted, Simon Davies I've had convicted. These are actual facts, right? You can Google this. I was on A Current Affair. All this stuff's been fucking proven, right? That these files were fucking sealed. There was a general, the CEO of St. Vincent's Hospital. Anyway, I gave out 22 names myself, 22 fucking names of high-profile men who were abusing children, and a woman, Annette Crowe, who was complicit in my abuse. In 2012, I end up coming forward and Parramatta Police and a sex crime squad there create what's called Strike Force Boyd, where I'm asked to wear a wire, and I do wear a wire against one of my abusers, which is Grant Morris. And because of my coming forward, the police went and investigated multiple stories, which actually gave closure and convictions to other victims of these crimes. In 2015, I again give evidence in the Royal Commission into Institutional Abuse. And I am working with a journalist named Ross Coulthart. Oh, no, sorry, it was before Ross Coulthart. I was working with a journalist named David Hartacre, who ironically is the journalist who wrote the piece on my girlfriend who was murdered, whose people who killed her were given 20 years jail, but then they appealed and went before another fucking grub named Judge Yeldon. And Judge Yeldon released her killers, set them free on appeal, and then took his own life, right, unalived. Then I give evidence at the Royal Commission Institutional Abuse, and again, they steal my fucking file. So David Hartacre and I, again, we went to where the Royal Commission was, into institutional abuse, in the city, to get my file so that it could be made for a story that he was doing at the time, which he then referred to Ross Coulthart from 60 Minutes, and they were going to do my story. And the two reasons that my story never got told was they allowed me to go into a room and read my file. I didn't have a fucking article or a phone, or I could have done this, these ones with it. You know, the saddest part about it was when I actually gave the second Royal Commission interview, I had a friend of mine with me, John. I won't say his last name, but John can write him below if he wants. This is true. And after the whole interview that I did, John recorded it. I didn't know he'd recorded it, right? And when we left, after that, I had to go and see these counsellors. And then after we were walking down the street, John says to me, I recorded all of your fucking interview. And I lost my shit, right? And I said, how fucking dare you? I felt vulnerable. I felt exposed. And I said, you fucking delete that shit. At that point, I didn't know what I was about to find out. They again sealed my fucking file for 99 years. So I now have done two Royal Commissions where they've sealed my fucking file. It's a fucking fact, man. It's not fucking a made-up conspiracy. It's a fucking fact. My story has been proven in not one, not two, not three, but four separate trials with four separate convictions, two Royal Commissions, and a current affairs story, another story that's about to come out in October called The Rise and Fall of King's Cross. It's not a fucking made-up story, man. So all of you around there that's saying it's a conspiracy and it's all this and it's all that, 128 police officers were stood down, sacked or retired or whatever the fuck from the King's Cross, Central, Chatswood and Parramatta precincts after the Royal Commission. Think about that. 128 corrupt police. Now, what they used to do in the Cross, right, was that these predators would come there and purchase children, little boys and little girls in strip clubs, nightclubs, places like Brett Boys, different places you've probably never even heard of, right? Purchase these fucking children. But in the back, there were cameras, right, that was filming them. They used to film these grubs doing these crimes. So somewhere in our country, there is literal video footage of these fucking grubs abusing children that probably died with Abe Zaffron, right, Mr. Sin or Freeman. Because what happened was, once they got these videos that they filmed of these kids, they would use them to blackmail politicians, all these high-profile businessmen, superstars, movie stars, sports stars, police, lawyers. I'm telling you, in Costello's, in Kellett Street, in the back streets of the Cross, it was the who's who of Australian politicians that would come in there and sit at a table with about six other politicians, and in between them were 12, 13, 14 and 15-year-old boys. These are all fucking facts. Anybody who's followed my story, I pride myself on authenticity and I pride myself on honesty. And I've done this at my own fucking expense, to my own life. Nothing I have said isn't right. So I just challenge you to really revisit that thought process where you think that it's a fucking conspiracy to expose those in the government. It's fucking not. I was invited by Simon Davies, whom I've had convicted, who's in jail right now doing 10 years and will be extradited back to the UK, who introduced me at the Sydney Hotel Marble Bar to Bob Hawke and other high-ranking politicians at the Hilton Hotel at a summit or meeting that they had. I've forgotten what they called it, but it was some sort of meeting to raise money for a thing called the Forest Farm Project up on the Central Coast, where they were going to create a farm in Forest Farm, where we actually had a woman named Annie Crow who ran King's Cross Resource Centres, who was recruiting fucking little children, taking to the refuge of the five men who worked there, abusing them, and then going to relocate them to the Central Coast so that they could do with them as they wanted. And they were being funded by the government. I was riding a push bike around, collecting funds in little envelopes all over fucking Sydney from all high-profile men. This is fucking fact. This is police statements that I've made, proven in a fucking court. It's time Australia stands up together and unites with the people like myself who have been through this fucking shit pretty much since the age of nine years of age, when my abuse seriously started in my life, where the system failed me repeatedly. They put me into orphanages, they put me into boys' homes where I'm abused, and from the boys' homes they put me into foster care where I'm abused, and then I end up on the streets of King's Cross where I'm abused again. My whole childhood was plagued by fucking grubs. But I'm alive, I'm clean, I'm sober today. Do you know how many children aren't? I cannot even begin to tell you the amount of children who arrived on the streets of King's Cross as 12, 13, 14-year-old, big beautiful smiles, and within weeks, they're either addicted to heroin, stripping in clubs, working in brothels, sitting in the park, standing at the wall, trying to support their heroin habits that have been cruelly introduced to them by predators who pretend to be their friends. I'll give you something to eat, mate. I'll give you somewhere to live. hey, I have some pot, have some alcohol, and let me chuck this at you as well. And you as a child thinking, wow, this adult's letting me drink, take drugs, how fucking cool are they? Until about 2 or 3 weeks into it where you're fucking no longer wanting it, you're fucking needing it. But then the demands change. They no longer are giving it away. You need to do all these different things in order to be able to support that fucking habit. And it goes one of two ways. Some people get angry like myself and start fucking robbing people or doing armed robberies or doing fucking serious crime, or others stand at the wall 24 hours a day trying to support a habit that has a shelf life of 4 hours. Everything I've said and many people say are true. But you are right, there are people out there who are making such outlandish fucking stories and have huge followings because people think, you know, and that's sad. I reckon those people are plants designed to make it look so fucking bizarre that the real stories like my own get hidden underneath the bullshit. Much love, everyone.
They were never expected to fight back. Abandoned children preyed on by the very people who'd promised to rescue them. For decades, the predators thought they got away with it, but those vulnerable little kids grew up and went after them. And today, the ringleader went to jail.
The last time Glenn and Sharon laid eyes on each other, they were homeless, abandoned children, desperate to be loved.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I am okay. You okay?
Yeah.
Nobody cared. We couldn't tell anybody. We had nowhere else to go. We had nothing.
Back then, Glenn and Sharon believed the Homeless Children's Association was their only chance for a warm bed and a roof over their heads. But that hope was lost. It was supposed to be a shelter. Instead, young children were groomed and suffered years of sexual abuse.
I hate that they made us feel like it was a safe place for us, when it really, it was the most dangerous place we could have been. I hate that. I hate that nobody cared.
And they were adults. They were supposed to care for
you. They were supposed to look after us. They were supposed to care for us, but they didn't.
In the 1970s and 80s, the bright lights of King's Cross were almost exciting for runaway kids. This place felt like a world away from the dysfunctional and heartbreaking childhoods they'd fled. But very quickly, they'd realised the truth. The streets were laced with heroin, prostitution was rife, and police were corrupt. It was no place for a child.
It was filled with predators who were very well trained at preying on a boy like me.
Like all the children who ended up at 429, Glenn thought he'd been rescued when Simon Davies opened the front door.
He said, let me tell you your story. You've come from a broken home, you spent most of your life in institutions, you've probably been sexually abused, and your mum and dad are probably alcoholics and addicts. And it was like, wow, like he just told me my story.
Simon Davies lived in and operated the King's Cross Refuge, building a profile as someone who saved children.
He introduced me to people that you wouldn't believe, you know, like a prime minister. He took me to all these different places and to meet these different people. But that was the art of the man, you know. Them other people were filled just like me. You know, he was gifted at surrounding himself with important people, which was very impressive to a young, you know, child, homeless kid.
But it was a trap that allowed Simon and other supposed carers free access to boys like Glenn, who would do anything to stay off the streets and feel wanted.
Look, I'm special. I'm in the office with Simon, you know, drinking alcohol. When I woke up in the morning, you know, it was quite horrific. What I started getting flashbacks of the night before. I was so shocked at what had happened.
Glenn was 14 and sadly had already been abused throughout his childhood, so he knew it was wrong.
What did they say to you when you said something?
This was actually normal. This is how King's Cross works. I'm overreacting. This is love. You know, they threw a lot of buzzwords at me, at a young boy that wanted all them things.
It wouldn't take long for Sharon to find out her friends were in danger.
I started to hear a noise coming from Simon's bedroom. I got really scared. I went outside and I found two others, and then the boy came running down the stairs crying, and he ran towards King's Cross, and I sent the other two boys after him, and it was never spoken about again. And that's when I realised, wow, this is bad. There's really bad stuff going on here.
Getting help was almost impossible when the man in charge was the worst of them all.
He opened that refuge, surrounded himself with like-minded men that did what he did and destroyed life after life.
I still don't understand why he did what he did and why he set that place up to be what it was, which was a house of horrors full of pedophiles. Every man that he'd bring there was a pedophile.
For children already struggling to survive.
There was never any food. We either ate at soup kitchens or we begged on the street. We'd all climb into beds together because there was never any blankets to stay warm. Our clothes we got out of vinny bins or off people's clotheslines.
It became about protecting each other, not from the mean streets, but from the men hurting them behind closed doors.
That's what we were doing, looking out for each other, keeping them away.
They could only take so much and eventually turn to drugs to help numb their nightmare.
I said, I'll tell the world what you've done. And Simon laughed in my face. You know, he told me I was a junkie, a heroin addict, I'd be dead by 21.
But Glenn survived and would turn the tables on his abusers. In 1996, Glenn gave a statement to the Wood Royal Commission into police corruption. That led to the conviction of two men from the refuge. Paul Shetwin Jones, a counsellor, was convicted and sentenced to just 18 months. Ken Fogarty pleaded guilty and was also jailed.
I feel great, but I know there's a bigger fish. I know there's more to go.
In 2010, Glenn went back to police and convinced them there were still more predators out there. They set up Strike Force Boyd, and Glenn agreed to help police get the evidence they needed to charge Grantley Leroy Morris, who was also a counsellor at the refuge.
They said, we want you to put a wire on. We want you to go and have a rendezvous with one of the predators, one of the pedophiles. And I was like, that was big for me.
Was your heart racing?
Yeah, it is. I'm a mix of emotions. I'm scared. Can I do this?
The rendezvous took place on the side of a road in Western Sydney.
We're in Parramatta. He's walking one way, I'm walking the other, and he recognises me straight away. Little Glenn, how are you going?
Later, Glenn set up a phone call with Grantley, which police would secretly record.
He rang me, I told you, about 10 o'clock at night one night, drunk. He wanted to reminisce. You know, he was quite graphic.
Glenn arranged to meet Grantley again. But this time, he brought an undercover cop posing as another pedophile.
What do you say?
Oh, mate, inside of me, I wanted to grab him. There was so many times on that particular day I wanted to grab him. He said to that detective, he said, we targeted prepubescent children that come from broken homes that no one gives a shit about. Hello, I'm sitting right here.
That's you.
That's me. That's my friends. I wanted to hit him. I wanted to hurt him. You know, I felt so much anger in me.
Grantley Leroy Morris was caught red-handed. He pleaded guilty, but only got just 2.5 years jail. The strike force wasn't done yet. In its sights, Simon Davies, who'd moved to Europe working as a high-profile privacy advocate and human rights expert.
We want to make sure that there is leadership and that there's an ethical compass, that they understand the gravity of what they are doing for the planet, for good or evil.
In 2019, he was the target of a global manhunt after New South Wales police had issued an Interpol red notice.
A global manhunt is tonight underway for a world-leading privacy and security expert wanted over suspected sex crimes. Police alleged
Simon Gordon Davies, a 63-year-old man.
Simon buckled under the pressure, handing himself into Dutch police, accused of 18 offences against four victims. But in the Netherlands, the statute of limitations had already expired for nine of those charges. He was extradited to Australia, but could only face charges for two victims, one being Glenn.
It's ridiculous.
What impact does that have on survivors like you?
It makes you feel like, is it worth it? Is it worth speaking up? It's a slap in the face. It says to you that their value is worth more than my value.
3 years after he was first charged and more than four decades after committing his crimes, Simon Davies finally pleaded guilty.
I am sick of saying his name. I'm sick of reliving what he's done. What he deserves is to be able to see what he's done to the kids that didn't get out of the other end. I mean, I've got out the other end. There's others that haven't. You know, he's destroyed a lot of lives.
When you hear the name Simon Davies, how does it make you feel?
Sick. Sick to my stomach. Absolutely violently sick.
Today, Simon Davies was sentenced to 10 years in jail. The judge read out a letter he wrote to Glenn saying, "I should have been the mentor and protector you needed. I'm sorry I let you down." Davies will be eligible for parole in March 2026.
And it's all thanks to this guy here. He's travelled and fought so hard, and I can't thank him enough from all of us survivors.
Paul Chetwynd-Jones, Grant Leroy Morris, Ken Fogarty and Simon Davies. And all four have been convicted.
You did it.
I did, and I'm proud of that, because I told him I would, and I did. I said, I'll hold you all accountable, and it took me 35 years to do it, but I've done it.
What do you say to the four men?
Die. Just die. Just do the world a favour. Just hurry up and die. Just before you are given the opportunity to do this to anybody else.
But there's still one more predator to catch. Police are looking for this man, a witness who goes by the name Richard West. Detectives believe he may have critical information.
It means that I've got every single one of them. Run. Hide, because we're coming. If he's alive on this planet, we'll find him.
I'm going to get you. We're coming for you. You're next. You can run, but you can't hide forever.
Good work. And if you or someone you know needs help, there is support available. Contact Lifeline. The number is on your screen now, 131114. That's 131114.
Yeah, well, my name's Glenn Fisher. I'm the author of the book Predator's Paradise. Yeah, I was raised in the system and then I landed on the streets of King's Cross. My whole life's been plagued by predators, pedophiles, and I lost a girlfriend when I was 15, so I decided eventually to turn it around, and now I've been through two royal commissions, four trials, put four of the fuckers in jail, another one about to go, possibly go to jail, and a fifth one by proxy, so.
All right, so Glenn, the next generation, so Glenn comes into the story in the 80s, and I'm unfortunately the 60s and 70s where I was taken away from my family at a very young age, and it was all the child welfare system that ended up taking my brothers and my sister, and I even found out now that my mum was even taken away at a very young age as well and used as a servant over at Willara when she turned 15. Now, my whole project is to let the government know that enough's enough with this raping of children, you know, in care, in foster homes, you know, all these institutions they say have now gone. Well, it's now just a different name. It's juvenile justice.
Yeah, I do. I have a documentary coming up on Channel 7 called The Rise and Fall of King's Cross. It's a 390 minute segments, and I feature very heavily in all of it, right through beginning, middle and end, I'm told. There's a lot of stuff coming up in the near future. I was reading on it, but I would like to talk to what you just said, Kaz, in relation to judges, in relation to my own story. So for those that don't know, I was placed into a refuge when I was 14 years old that was run by 5 pedophile men. The judge was founded by the Prime Minister, Bob Hawke. It was founded by Rob Blackmore, a children's magistrate, and it had 7 magistrates on board. The judge was founded by the Prime Minister, Bob Hawke. It was founded by Rob Blackmore, a children's magistrate, and it had 7 magistrates on board. But it gets worse. My girlfriend, my beautiful girlfriend, was murdered when I was 15 years old. Her killers were caught and convicted, got 20 fucking years. They appealed and went before a judge named Judge Yeldon. Now, Google that.